Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 12, verse 12, young lion, what it say?
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. But the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And we'll know when you got the righteous spirit by the way you conduct yourself in the Almighty's word. We'll know. It'll tell exactly what you made of. So, Brother Titus, in the book of Lamentation, read past Jeremiah, they got a statement there. And we're going to take a look at this statement over in Lamentation. Take a little glance at this statement in the book of Lamentation there, young lion. What it says in Lamentation chapter 40, verse 3 and 4. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 43 and verse 4. What it say there, young lion? Come on.
Lamentation chapter 3, verse 43 and verse 4.
In Lamentation chapter 3, pick up verse 40 and read 40-41. What that say?
The book of Lamentation chapter 3, verse 40 and 41. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 40 reads, let us search and try our ways and turn again to Yahuwah. Verse 41, let us lift up our minds with our hands unto Yahuwah in the heavens.
Yeah, read that again, young lion.
Lamentation chapter 3, verse 40 reads, let us search and try our ways and turn again to Yahuwah. Verse 41, let us lift up our minds with our hands unto Yahuwah in the heavens.
Mm-hmm. So he says, read verse 40 again that we got to do that, young lion. Read that again, verse 40.
Lamentation chapter 3, verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to Yahuwah.
He says, let us search our ways. Let's make sure before we point the fingers any direction, make sure let's first point the finger at ourselves. Let's see exactly where we stand at. And that's what we have to do in the anointed leadership. We have to watch that kind of spirit. We got to make sure when we're hearing people making statements, we got to be clear that the Bible will tell you exactly what they're working with. So now, read that one more time there, young lion, because you own something, but we can't figure out what you own until we hear a little bit more. Now read that again, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 and 41. One more again, come on.
Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 and 41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to Yahuwah. Verse 41. Let us lift up our mind with our hands unto Yahuwah in the heavens.
Oh, okay, good. All right, let's go to, let's precept that to Psalm. Let's see where he was pulling that verse from. Jeremiah was pulling that verse from somewhere because you said let us lift up our hands to heaven. And that's a great thing. So stop off in Psalms 85, verse 11. And we'll get warmed up right there, Brother Titus. We'll look at Psalms 85, verse 11. We'll get warmed up right there. What does it say? Psalms 85, verse 11.
The book of Psalms, chapter 85, verse 11 reads, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
And righteousness is going to look down from heaven. Now, that's a big verse of there. So righteousness, when truth sprang out of the earth, righteousness going to look down from heaven. Now, who is this righteous going to look down from heaven that we can read and Jeremiah 23, verse number 6. Who is this righteousness going to look down from heaven once truth spring from the earth? Then righteousness going to look down from heaven as some truth. Let's find out who this righteousness going to look down that we can read, that young line. Who is this righteousness that we can read going to look down from heaven once he hears some truth down on the earth? Jeremiah 23, verse number 6.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 6 reads, "In this day, Yada, the southern kingdom should be saved, and Israel of the northern kingdom shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he should be called Yahweh, our righteousness."
Yeah. So now we see who's going to look down from heaven, and he got to see some righteous down there. But what is he doing right now in 18, verse 4 of the book of Isaiah, young lion? What are you doing in 18, verse 4 of Isaiah?
We're going to Isaiah 10, chapter 18. Verse 4 reads, Isaiah chapter 18, verse 4. "For so Yahweh said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place, like a clear heat upon herds, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest."
Mm-hmm. So he said he's going to take his rest. He said, I'm going to take my rest, and I'm just going to watch. So Hosea, pull that verse in 5:15, and let's add a little bit more to him. He told Isaiah, I'm just going to take my rest. I'm just going to take my rest, and I'm just going to watch some things. So young lion, we own something. As we build up a case for something, we don't know which way we're going, but we're building some up there, young lion. So he said, I'm just going to watch this thing. In Hosea 5:15, help those
see
out on what's going on there. Come on.
The book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15. "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early."
So you say he just going to go and I'm just going to watch him. I'm going to watch them and see what they do. Is that what he say he gonna do? All he say he gonna do, I'm just gonna watch and see what they do there, young man. Now, in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, let's see what it says in the fourth chapter. We're gonna look at verse number 1, and we're gonna take it down to verse number 5. Let's see. Mimi say he's going to watch it. I'm just going to watch and see what they do. But look what Paul was addressing Judah out of the southern kingdom. He pulled that rest, and he said something that we can read in Hebrews chapter 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What did he say?
The book of Hebrews, Flutterworth Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 1 through 5.
Yeah. Just hold off the word. A polluted word, because we just want to get right to the fact of the matter. If we want them to say that, once we read it there, then we'll be able to explain what that word means. See, right now, we're in the teaching mode there, young lion. So we want to just put it out there. If we know exactly what word go there, just put it there and keep it moving. 5, 1 through 5, come on. 4, 1 through 5, come on.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us is to enter into his rest, any of you seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the covenant taught as well as unto them, but the word taught did not profit them, not being mixed but spake to them that heard it. Verse 3. For we.
Wait a minute, hold that point. Hold that point there, young lion. Because see, we're going to be in and out with you. So now work with those there a little bit. Now reach up again in verse 3. Again, kind of be listening real good. Because see, I don't know when he's going to cut in on you there. But when we hear some good stuff that need a precept with it, we got to get on in there and get it out the way. Read that verse 3 again.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we, which have believed, do enter to his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they should enter to my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Next verse.
Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and Yahweh did rest the seventh day from all his works.
Well, hold on there, young man. I'm missing my head. I want the word. I want you to back up and look at real carefully this word called faith. You mentioned something about faith there, young man. That's the word I wanna work with a little bit. So look down there real carefully at that word called faith in that Hebrews 4. That's the verse I want to take a little peep at there, young lion. I'm trying to paint a picture. So help those see or paint this picture. So back up a little bit and let's look at this word called faith in that Hebrews 4. Come on.
The book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the covenant taught as well as unto them. But the word taught did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard.
So although the word was taught to them as us, but them did not receive it because they didn't believe in the faith. Let's find out exactly what's going on about this. They didn't want to believe in the faith there, young lion. Let's run and take a little peep in Galatians 3, verse 23. Let's find out a little bit something about this faith because they didn't have no faith. So now we're going to see if we tie that in with some precept there, young lion. Galatians chapter 3. And pick with verse 23.
The book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 23, reads, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith.
Until faith came. So faith came. Now, Paul has to be pulling that verse from somewhere. Now, until faith came, we were shut up under the law. And that law they're talking about is the animal sacrifice. But before faith came, we were shut up under his law. So Paul just could not. See, that's why Peter says, when Peter started grabbing a hold to Paul's letters, and a lot of those that was unlearned, they didn't understand Paul's writing when he was writing to the congregation, and his words was pretty heavy. It was pretty heavy on them, and they didn't understand it. He wasn't taken away from the Bible. He just, when he was sending his letters, they had so much of what's called learning in it. And if you're not learned, Forces Number 2 is like on the network. See, by the world being taught Christianity. And when we bring out things that they do not understand, they will poke at it by not having proper understanding because Christianity is just like you just drinking poison. Tell you like it is. Christianity is like a slow death. It's like you drinking poison, and that's how Christianity is. It is a slow death. Because when you analyze Christianity, it's not And we've been accused of doing a lot of things, but by you not being learned by the Six Anointed Camp, and Christianity is where you have learned, you will think that we twisting something. But Peter had to address that, hold that point there in 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18. Peter had to address Paul's letters to those that taken his letters and broke out running. They broke out running with Paul's letters and saying Paul is teaching against the law. He was not. It's just his letters were weighty. Case in point. Let's see what Peter said in 3:15. Hold that mark on what you got there, young line. We're coming back there eventually. But we want to go and find out what Peter says about Paul in 2 Peter 3:15-18.
Keep speaking of the nation of Israel, 2 Peter 3:15-18. 2 Peter 3:15 reads, "And account that the long suffering of our Yahweh is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him that's written unto you." Verse 16.
Stop right there. Stop right there. The long suffering for us is what again, that young line?
2 Peter 3:15. "And account that the long suffering of our Yahweh is salvation."
Oh. So if we get this long suffering in, what we got coming again now, young man?
Salvation.
Salvation. Talk there, that big talk. Let's get a precept on that salvation there. There. Young man. So properly, but we know you on point. So you got your marker there, so you're ready to come back there when we do coming back there. Ain't no problem about that. Because we know you are very learned. And, but we got to take a look at this. It's long suffering will be some salvation. So the point I'm saying, this long suffering that you're working with, when it's all said and done, we're going to have some what again there, young lion?
Salvation.
Uh-huh. So now, in Jeremiah chapter 1, there, young lion, we're going to look at verse 5 down to verse 10. The long suffering, the end of it, it will be some salvation. So Jeremiah was raised from the womb, and Almighty gonna say something to him in 1:5-10. And what did he say that we can read? Come on.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1:5-10. Jeremiah 1:5 reads, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a seer unto the nation." Verse 6. "Then said I, Ah, Yahweh, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Verse 7. "But Yahweh said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For you should go to all that I should send you, and whatsoever I command you, you should speak." Verse 8. "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, said Yahweh." Verse 9. "Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Verse 10. "See, I have set this day. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.
Mm-hmm. So Jeremiah was not coming to predicate anybody. He had a mission to do, and the same thing, the six anointed camps got a mission to do once they wake up and understand that the way we trying to present to you is the way to go. And in the 28th chapter of Jeremiah, look at verse number 28, verse number 8 and 9. Jeremiah 28, verse 8 and 9 there, young lion. What does it say we can read in Jeremiah 28, verse 8 and verse 9?
The book of Jeremiah is here, chapter 28, verse 8 and 9. Yes. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 8 and verse 9. The sins have been before me, and before me of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. Verse 9 reads, the seer, which you prophesied the peace with the word of the seer, shall come to pass, then shall the seer be known that Yahweh has truly sent him.
Did you say? Read that again there, young lion. Read that verse again, that verse number. That last verse you just read. Yes, sir.
In Jeremiah 28, verse 9. The seers which you prophesied of peace, when the word of the seer shall come to pass, then shall the seer be known that Yahweh had truly sent him.
Mm-hmm. Precept that back to the 18th chapter, 15 through 18 of Deuteronomy. He pulled that verse pulled. That was pulled. So the seer that is going to tell you what this Bible saying and paint the picture, that's the one that have more, but you have to have the right spirit to recognize the sign of the time. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 down to verse 19 now, young lion. Let's see if we can tie that in, because we're heading on something, and we land a pretty good foundation. So we just read. Now come back again, read that one more time, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 8 and 9, I need that one more time. I mean Jeremiah. Jeremiah, chapter 28, verse 8 and verse 9. I'm trying to get my ducks lined up there, young lion, because you own something. And I want a little bit more out of that. Jeremiah 28, verse 8 and 9. Read that again.
The book of Jeremiah, the seer, chapter 28, verse 8 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 8. The seer that had been before me and before you of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. Verse 9. The seer which prophesies of peace, when the word of the seer should come to pass, then should the seer be known that Yahweh had truly sent him.
Mm-hmm. So you have to watch the one that got a feel-good ministry, and that's when the one is lining up the book and showing you exactly what time you're in. But this was pulled, and now we're going back and find what it's pulled in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 down to verse 19. Come on.
The fifth book of the Torah instruction, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 to 19. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15.
Pick up at verse 15. Hey, young lion. Pick up at verse 15 there, young lion. Verse 15 to 19.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 down to 19.
Yes, sir.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Yahweh, your Yahweh, will raise up unto you a seer for the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me, unto him, you should listen. Verse 16. According to all that you desire of Yahweh, your Yahweh, in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh, my Yahweh, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. Verse 17. And Yahweh said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18. I will raise them up a seer from among their brothers, like unto me, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I should command him. Verse 19.
He said he's going to put my words in his seer's mouth, and everything that's written that the seers have said aforetime, he's going to be saying the same thing, just bring you up to date and let you know how close you're getting. So now, Jeremiah 29, verse 1, 17 through 19 says what? Jeremiah 29, verse 1, 17 down to verse 19. What does it say there, young lion?
Book of Jeremiah is here, chapter 29, verse 1. Skip down to verse 17 and 19. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the seer sent unto Yahdah Judah and to the residues of the elders, which were carried away as captives, and to the priests, and to the seers, and to all people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captives from Yahdah Judah to Babylon. Verse 17 to 19. Thus said Yahweh host, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Verse 18. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. Verse 19, because they have not listened to my words, said Yahweh, which I have sent unto them by my servant Isaiah, rising up early, sending them, but you would not hear, said Yahweh.
Yeah. So again, he let you know that he got an order about how he operates. And he says, Jeremiah, tell the children problem, listen to you, the seer, and all these things going to come up on them. And we're going to read all these things a little bit later as the lesson unfolds. But all this was pulled coming out of Numbers. Chapter 14, 1, 2, and 22. What can we read out of Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, 12, and 22? This was poor there, young lion. All this good stuff we read out of Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, and Jeremiah again was pulled from the mouth of Moses talking to the children of Israel through Aaron. In the 14th chapter, verse 11, 12, and 22, what happened?
The book of Numbers of the Heavenly Tablets, chapter 14, verse 11, 12, and 22. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, read. And Yahweh said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them. Verse 12, I will smite them with the pestilence, with the and disinherit them, and I will make of you a greater nation and mightier than them. Verse 22 reads, because all those lands which I've seen my greatness and my miracles which I did in Egypt, Mizraim, and in the wilderness have tempted me now these 10 times and have not listened to my voice.
All I want is one word. Either you give me Egypt or give me Mizraim, give me one word. Now, Okay, good. So what is he saying there, young lion? He's saying some good stuff. So in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Romans chapter 13 there, young lion, 13 chapter 11 down to verse 14. Help those see out as we paint this picture for tape, number 165. Come on.
The book of Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Read. And that, knowing the time, that now is a high time to awake out of sleep, and now is our salvation near than we believe. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast out the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in riot and drunkenness, not in chivalry and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Verse 14. But put you on Yahweh the Son, and make no provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Mm-hmm. So he says, it's now time to wake up out this sleep. See, what will put us in sleep is Christianity, and Christianity is just like drinking straight poison. Mm-hmm. It's a slow death. Christianity is a slow death because it never tells you to order things, and now you're hearing how this thing is lined up. So we let you know, if you off into Christianity, it's just like drinking poison, another slow death to your mind, then to your body. And now Paul was over there in Ephesians, and he always going to run into Judah, northern kingdom, because Judah was scattered to get over there. But you had a lot of false brothers over there too, so Paul had his hands full, because that's why it said, it told, prophesied that, you know, Paul lived a life there, young lion, that in the ninth chapter of Acts, just read where you see it, because we kind of pull out a point. In the ninth chapter of Acts, verse 15 and 16, see, Paul lived a life, because he did some things, and Yahweh is going to collect on you sooner or later. So he had to collect on Paul, and this is what he told the seer to tell Paul in the ninth chapter, verse 15 and 16 of Acts. He said this, tell Paul this, Acts 9, 15 and 16, come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. But Yahweh said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
You see that? Paul suffered for the name of the four letters, YHWH. Paul suffered.
Mm-hmm.
Because he ran to all type of brothers that knew they supposed to teach this word, but they were twisting the word. Paul had a lot of work to do, but he was prophesied, and Paul knew, he was told by Ananias, that, brother Paul, you're going to suffer. Like I said, if he don't get you today, he'll get you tomorrow. So in Ecclesiastes, the regular book, chapter 8, 11 through 13. See, one thing you got to understand something. Yahweh got it written, and the seer's job is to bring it out, that because he don't take care of you now, because you can find your $10 and all that good stuff going on here right now, if you is not in order, not doing the thing that he got written in his Bible, get you later. We're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. Let's talk about it. Young lion, come on.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 11 to 13. Because sense is a gift, and evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the mind of the sons of man is fully set and damned to do evil. Verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it should be well with them that fear Yahweh, which fear before him. Verse 13. But it should not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow before him, because he feared not Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because he fears not Yahweh. Because he tells you plainly in the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, 35 through 37, he make it real plain to those that got ear to hear. He had a seer to put it in writing, Sirach chapter 6, verse 6, 35 to 37. What did he say?
Going to the book of Sirach, the seer, chapter 6, verse 6, 35 through 37. Sirach chapter 6, verse 6. Be in peace with many, nevertheless, have the one counselor of a thousand. Verse 35 to 37. Be willing to hear every Yahwali discourse, and let not the parables of understanding escape you. Verse 36. But if you fear the man of understanding, get you betimes unto him, and let not your foot wear the steps of his door. Verse 37. Let your mind be upon the ordinance of Yahweh, and meditate continually in his Torah instruction. He should establish your mind and give you wisdom at your own desire.
Mm-hmm. Sirach 20, verse 32.
Going to Sirach, chapter 20, verse 32. Sirach 20, verse 32. Necessary patience and seeking Yahweh is better than he that leadeth his life without the guide.
Read that again, young lion.
Sirach chapter 20, verse 32. Necessary patience in seeking Yahweh is better than he that leadeth his life without a guide.
You see, that's what Christianity do for you. Christianity can tell you you don't need a guide. See, Christianity tell you, no, you don't need no guide. Like you graduate from college. You are all good. That's what Christianity tell you. I understand that. No, it don't work like that. It works exactly the way he says it by the minister spirit in Acts chapter 8, verse number 29 through 31. It works exactly the way the Bible tells you it works. You have all the education you want, all the degrees you want, but you're not going to supersede what the Bible got written. Acts chapter 8, 29 to 31 says what?
The book of Acts chapter 8, verse 29 to 31. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Verse 30, and Philip ran in to him and heard him read the seer Isaiah and said, understand as you what you read. Verse 31, and he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
Mm-hmm. So you see, this man was coming to the feast that was over there in Cush called Ethiopia from the tribe of Judah. He was coming from the feast. But he didn't understand some things. And the minister spirit sent Philip over there and asked him a question, how? Do you understand what you read? He was reading. No. Except some man guide me. Now, that verse is pulled from Numbers 27, 15 down to verse 17. See, when you know when a person on the right track, they understand the order of Yahweh is not going to change. If you're not guided by a man, and you out there think you're throwing down, that's called Christianity. You flipping the scriptures in your own mind. Because that verse was pulled from Numbers chapter 27, 15 down to verse 17. Bring it.
The book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 15 to 17. Numbers chapter 27, verse 15 reads, and Moses spake unto Yahweh, saying, verse 16, let Yahweh spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation of Israel. Verse 17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Yahweh be not as sheep which have no shepherd.
In time, a man is not leading the way, it is like a sheep having no shepherd. In time, the man is not leading the way, it's like a sheep having no shepherd. That is the bottom line. Six anointed camps, you got to recognize that if a man is not leading the way, it's like a sheep having no shepherd. And 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 says what?
Okay, 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. Okay, 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. All right, 1 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse where? 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse where? But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor us of authority over the man, but to be in silence.
And if that's not going on in your household, Sirach 25, 26. And if that's especially in leadership, this is on the camp, if that's not going on in your household, especially in leadership, then you have to feel the right, exactly what you do if that is not going on by the orchestra of Yahweh. If anything deviates from it, you got to read exactly what you do in 25, 26 of Sirach.
The book of Sirach, chapter 25, verse 26. If she go not as you wouldest have her, cut her off from your flesh and give her a bill of divorce. And let her go.
That's the end of it. So someone have to tell the story as is. And Sirach 10, let's find out who will take the lead on telling the story as is. Sirach chapter 10, verse 1 and 2.
Sirach. Book of Sirach chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Sirach chapter 10, verse 1. A wise seer to instruct his people, and the governor of a prudent man is well ordered. Verse 2, as the judge of the people is himself, so are his officers. And what matter of a man that ruler of the city is, such are all they that dwell therein.
Mm-hmm. So the wise seers must have officers that understand this thing. Elders, teachers, mothers, brothers, sisters, understand it's an order about this thing. Because Yahweh is sitting on the right hand of the Father watching for. And he's not going to intervene until he recognizes a ministry is doing Bible order, not Christianity order. When he see the Bible order in place, then he look forward of seeing Isaiah 61, verse 7. You're supposed to look forward of seeing Isaiah 61, verse 7. Once Yahweh looks down from heaven, then look forward of seeing the next move in 61, verse 7. What does it say of Isaiah?
You go out to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7. Isaiah 61, verse 7. For your saying, So you have, for your sins, you shall have double. And for confusion, they should rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double everlasting joy should be unto them.
Mm-hmm. So that's the bottom line. And that's why he tell you real plainly in Sirach 32, we're looking at verse 13 down to verse 24. That's why we got to line up this Bible. Remember, in that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. So the world, if we got a lot of information showing you where the Roman Catholic Church have made a lot of statements. Latter-day Saints, too. And a whole lot of organizations have made a lot of statements. I'm going to tell you one thing. The answer lies in the Bible. To Latter-day Saints. A lot of things have been said, and we is sitting there watching that one eye say, and we're trying to show you that a wise seer will instruct you, but you have to pay attention to the Bible as it unfolds. Let's see what we got written in Sirach 32, 13 down to verse 24. Well, check it out in verse 19. That's good enough. 13 to 19. Sirach 13 to 19. Come on.
Book of Sirach, the seer, chapter 32, verse 13 to 19. Sirach 32, verse 13. And for these things, bless him that made you and have replenished you with his good things. Verse 14. Whoso feared Yahweh will receive his discipline, and they that seek him early shall find faith. Verse 15. He that seeketh the Torah instruction shall be filled therein, but the hypocrite will be offended thereat. Verse 16. They that fear Yahweh shall judge. They that fear Yahweh shall find judgment and may kindle justice as a light. Verse 17. A sinful man will not be reproved, but rather an excuse according to his will. Verse 18. A man of counsel will be considerate, but a strange and proud man is not detained with fear, even with himself. He had done without counsel.
Read verse 19 again.
I ain't even got that. That was verse 17 I just read. I mean, 18.
Okay, read 17, 18, and 19.
All right, that's verse 19. Sirach 32, verse 19. Do nothing without advice. When you have once done, repent now.
What do you say again in verse 19?
Sirach 32, verse 19. Do nothing without advice. And when you have done, when you have once done, repent now.
Yeah. You say, do nothing without advice. That's why you got to make sure you're around wise counseling. Let's go to Sirach 37, 23 down to verse 26. So you see, because we head back to Paul's writing, but we have to do a detour because Paul was writing letters, and a lot of Judah read the letters, and he hadn't talked to one that fell out in all the other nations, and Paul came to correct him. Then he said, Paul gonna suffer for what he did to the saints called children of Israel. Because in how he suffered, he ran to false brothers from the tribe of Judah. And they always had a stumbling block waiting on old Paul. And they'll read Paul's letters and get themselves all twisted up what Paul was saying. And think Paul was saying one thing, and Paul was talking straight up out of the scriptures. And we're going to unlock that shortly. So in Sirach 37, 23, down to verse 26 there, young lion, you're doing excellent on your part. Continue. Come on.
Sirach the seer, chapter 37, verse 23 to 26. Sirach 37, verse 23. A wise man instructs his people, and the fruit of his understanding.
Hold that point right there. Hold that point right there. That same wise man, the same thing you read in 10:1. A wise seer will instruct him. And he'll get to the elder, and so on, so on. So be very careful before you jump out that young line. And same thing you read in 10:1, you read the same thing again in 37, verse 23. Come on back again.
Sirach 37, verse 23. A wise seer instructs his people, and the fruits of his understanding fail not. Verse 24. A wise seer should be filled with blessings, and all days that see him should count him happy. Verse 25. The days of his life of a man may be numbered, but the days of Israel are innumerable. Verse 26. A wise seer should inherit honor among his people, and his name should be everlasting.
Hallelujah. And that's the seer's job, is to build them up. Our job is to build you up. See, but we have to make sure that you 14:34 second Ezra on you. See, we can build you up, but some things that have to be dealt with for the seer passing down to the elders to build you up. A couple things that got to be done that we can read. And 14:34 must be on the table with a precept of the book of Hebrews, chapter 5:12-14. We're going back to back with a young lion. Some things have to be done to work with you, and we're going to read it from the seer. Then Paul going to pull that verse in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12-14. You're on the clock, come out.
All right, the book of Second Ezra, the seer, chapter 14, verse 34. Second Ezra, chapter 14, verse 34. Therefore, if so be that you will do your own understanding and reform your mind, you should be kept alive, and after death, you should obtain mercy.
You hear the man say it? The first thing you got to do, you got to reform your mind. You got to put all that Christianity and all that high learning from the world to side. That's where it started. Until you're able to do that part, and then have a Matthew 18, verse 3, when you come around the sixth morning camp, you must be a Matthew 18, verse 3. What it say?
Okay, let me get there. Matthew 18, verse 3. Okay. Go to the book of Matthew. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 3. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 reads, "And said, truly, I said to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you should not enter to the kingdom of heaven."
You hear that? So you can't bring that basely attitude, among the six anointed camps with that basely attitude. Eyes all in the corner of your eyes. You got to come what way? According to 18, verse 3 there, young line? Read that again.
The book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 3 reads, "And said, truly, I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you should not enter to the kingdom of Yahweh."
See the man saying? Otherwise, you're not getting in until you understand that. I don't care how much worldly learning you got, when it comes down to the Bible, you have no learning but just reading. Because this book got a lot of things in here that will not be brought out until the sixth anointing count bring it out, although you have read the Bible up, back, 10 or 15 times. It doesn't make no never mind. Unless you got it by the sixth anointing count, you just have read this Bible. With the understanding, you're going to be clueless behind the sign of the time. Now, where we leave off on there? You was holding something there, young lion. What was you holding?
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14.
Excellent. Bring it out. Now, Paul, let me paint the picture for a minute. Now, Paul is invited to the southern kingdom with the 12 apostles, the followers of Yahweh is there, and Paul going to address the southern kingdom, and he's talking to Judah at the temple. So we're just addressing what he get ready to tell them. Listen to what Paul tell them in 5:12-14.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 reads, "But when, for the time you ought to be teaching, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of Yahuwah, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." Verse 13, "And everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Verse 14, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil."
Yeah. So now Paul is not addressing the world, see, right? Paul is addressing Judah. He let Judah know that you have jumped off and been scattered. You off in every nation. But now you got to be taught again because some things that you lacking on. Now, you're talking to Judah. That's who Paul talking to. And case in point, you're always going to run into Judah. Y'all are going to run into Judah and watch what he say. Now, come back to Peter again, 3:15-18. Now, we're going to get all this to get back to here again. Now, we've been tied this in. Now, we've done all that. We've been gone about an hour there, young lion. Now, we've done all that to get back to Peter chapter 3, verse 15. One verse at a time. Then we're going to Jeremiah and start tying it in. Now, we have to lay that foundation. That's by the Spirit of Yahuwah to lay that foundation. We done did it. Exactly by the order. But those that got ear to hear, heard it. But those that got their own mind made up in Christianity, they didn't hear a word we said, got passion. But let's see exactly in Peter 3:15, one verse at a time says what?
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "And account that the long suffering of our Yahweh is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you."
Stop right there. That's one verse at a time. He said that long suffering for us is what again?
Of our Yahweh is salvation.
They call the world of Israel's world. Read verse 3:15 one more time.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "And account that the long suffering of our Yahweh is salvation, even as our
the long suffering, the long suffering of our Yahweh is what again, that young line?
Is salvation.
All right. Now finish that one verse up.
"Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you."
Good. Let's go to Jeremiah and find out who is the you that he's talking about. See, this is what we kind of tell the six anointed camp. You just reading a bunch of scriptures, and you don't break this thing down. But this long suffering is for salvation for you. Now, you need to read the you for this salvation. Because until you understand that Paul was very learned, and Paul made it plain some things that we need to know. He made it real plain there, young lion. The long suffering for you is salvation. That's what Paul just said. But Paul just did not just pull that verse up. Now, young lion, where will we go to pull that verse? And we paused at that verse a long time ago. But we had to go all around the corner to get that. So where will we go? Get those there. We're struggling right now. Well, for time's sake, we ain't struggling. We just get right at it. So now when Paul made that statement, make sure you're clear that you got your precepts ready, the long suffering for us is salvation. Now, Christianity will have the world in that. But now we go on to Jeremiah 3 and look at verse 23. See, we got to bounce these precepts back and forth with the better half. We got to be more sharp. Got to be more sharp on these precepts. So long suffering to us is salvation. To us that we can read. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 3. And we look at verse 14, 15, and 23. This is real good. 14, 15, and 23.
The book of Jeremiah is here, chapter 3.
Remember, all things starts with the seer through the elder. If it's some good instructions, it's always the seer to the elder. That's when you're painting the picture right. So when you run into words, if it's something good, you have to soundly put it in from there. If something happened, like, for example, any 11 verse 7, what is it? 11 verse 7 of Exodus. See, the reason why we're saying this, young lion, you have to come and lay this thing out. But you're going to run into, remember, Paul was the sucker behind this thing. So now, once you put what's supposed to be there, something happened, you have to remember what's written in the 11th chapter, verse number 7. What can you read in 11 verse 7? When you bring out what this Bible's saying, and if anything jump off, because they're going to speak out, you have to make sure you know what 11 verse 7 says in the book of Exodus. What does it say?
Second book, the book of Exodus, chapter 11, verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel should not a dog move his tongue, against man nor beast, that you may know how that Yahweh do put a difference between the Mizamite and Israel.
You see that? So when we of the sixth anointed camp is going through a lesson, according to the Bible, he said, "Better not a dog move their tongue when we deliver the knockout blow and dust," says Yahweh. You see that? You see that, young lion? Here's the Bible saying.
Yes,
now, John recapped all that in 22. He recapped all that in 22, verse 11, down to verse number 15. So now, John, the revelator in 96 AD, he pulled that verse, the 11th chapter, verse 7 of Exodus, and he sealed the deal by writing hereafter in 22, verse number 11, down to verse 15. Bring it. End time prophecy. Come on.
The book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 11 through 15. Book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 11 reads, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still." Verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work should be." Verse 13. "I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his Torah instruction, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city." Verse 15. "For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, whosoever love it and make it a lie."
That's big talk there. You see that? Now you see that? That's big talk there, young man. Read verse 14 and 15 again. Now remember, John writing here out. He don't go no further than John when he put his pen down in 96 A.D. So he making it plain with you, six anointed clamps. You got to teach this. 14 and 15, bring it.
Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15. Revelation 22, verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his Torah instruction, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city." Verse 15. "For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever love it and make it a lie."
Man, if you think you can do the St. John 10:1, go up another way, you're just making yourself a liar, because he said, "Without our dogs," with the F to it. So there will be many dogs that think they come up another way than what's written in this Bible. He said, if you're not keeping the first five books, you're not getting in. And he said, if you outside of the kingdom, where the 12 tribes going to be at, with them great big angels standing before it, all that do not come in through them gates that's on the outside will be dogs with the F to it. And that is written in verse 15. So you examine yourself. If you're not keeping the Torah instruction and Yahweh shut you down, we can guarantee you, you're going to fall right up on this category right here as being outside. And if you're outside, you consider Israelite descent or other nations. You consider not doing the Torah instruction without a dog with the S to it. Many of them. And when we speak, they're not a dog move his tongue. What we're showing you is what this Bible says and paint the picture. But that is right there in verse 14 and 15. So now Jeremiah is talking. Paul pulled that verse about the salvation to us. Now, we go and find out who he's talking about by precepting your Bible. To Jeremiah 3, verse 14 and 15. Remember, all things go through the seer, to the elders, to the fathers, to the teachers. That's how it rolls, seer right here. So when we jump down in Jeremiah 3, 14 and 15, look what it says.
Book of Jeremiah the seer, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. "Turn, O black Sabbath children, said Yahweh, for I am merry unto you, and I will take you one out of his city, and two of his family, and I will bring you into Yadah Judah." Verse 15. "And I will give you seer according to my mind, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understand."
Excellent. Hold that point. Excellent. And the seer's job is to get to the elders. And the elders get to the fathers. And the fathers get to the teachers. And the fathers get to the mothers. And the mothers get to the children. So to understand what Paul's saying in 3:15, he breaks it down right here through that protocol. And verse 23. Watch this. Verse 23.
Jeremiah says, chapter 3, verse 23, reads, truly in vain is salvation, hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in Yahweh, our Yahweh, is salvation of Israel.
You see that? See, the multitude of the nations, they don't have no salvation. The salvation comes through Israel. So if you don't line up behind Israel, if you don't line behind Israel, that was Jeremiah saying, but what is Israel really talking about? 4:22. He said, if you don't line up in 22, see now, so when Yahweh the Son, he pulled that same verse. He just letting you know what Israel he talks. He's talking about. What Israel he talking about this salvation must run through Israel. Yeah, but what Israel? We're going to 4:22. We'll find out in St. John what Israel leads to salvation for you and me. Here it is in 4:22 of St. John. Come on.
Beloved John, chapter 4, verse 22 reads, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of Yahweh.
Salvation is of Yahweh Judah. That is the lead tribe. And that's why it's told you plainly in the 12th chapter through prophecy, 12 verse 7 and 8, exactly what not to do. And we got to understand the six anointed camps. We got to come back to this Bible, but in order, and Yahweh will give you the increase. And you got to learn as fast as you can, much as you can, as fast as you can, from the mixed six anointed camps. Because we let you know how to read your Bible. And when you speak, then that a dog move his tongue. He means any of the nations, even Judah himself. Because we got the precept to back up. When we tell you exactly how it is, we got the precept to go right back there and back it up and paint the picture. So we'll easily understand salvation starts with Judah, because we can read what Zechariah 12 verse 7 and 8 say. What did it say there, young lion?
The book of Zechariah, it says, chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 8. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7. Yahweh also will say the camp of Yahweh first in the greatness of the family of David and of the greatness of the inhabitants of the northern kingdom do not magnify themselves against Yahweh. Verse 8 reads, verse 8, in that day shall Yahweh defend the habits of Yahweh, Judah, and he that is feeble among them at the day should be as David, and the family of David should be as Yahweh, as the ministering spirit of Yahweh before them.
That's big. That's big talk there. Now, he said you have some fever, Yahweh Judah. But he made a statement about the fevers of Yahweh Judah. He said he's going to have some that's going to need to be built up of Yahweh Judah. Now, I need a precept on that, young lion. That big talk that we just got through. Now you read some good stuff there, no doubt about it. But now I need a precept to let you know he gonna start this thing off with Judah once he wake up. Judah got to wake up. He got to recognize you the lead tribe, but lead what kind of way? Now, and the book of Hosea there. Now I don't got it happy, but I can't find my precept there, young lion. It was a precept that if Judah do right, this ain't the one I want, but I throw this in 611 of Hosea, but that ain't what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something else, but 6:11 will get past the national audience, but that ain't really is my number one hit. I was on something else, but 6:11 will help me out. But the minister said, no, we got it going the way we want it to go. Read 6:11, but before you read 6:11, the backup hit in Psalm 60:22. Then read 6:11. Let's see what he says. Then he said, the feeble is, you know, the one that, you know, that needs to be built up and yacked out to get on that job. He says in Isaiah 60, verse 22, once we fill you up, and 60, verse 22. What is that, that young lion? 60, verse 22 of Isaiah. What did he say about the feeble, otherwise the one that needs to be built up? What did he say that's going to happen once we get them on their feet? What's going to happen there, young lion? 60, verse 22.
The book of Isaiah said, chapter 60, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. A little one should become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. Our Yahweh will hasten it in his time.
And hasten it means I'm going to speed it up. Once he sees the order, he's going to speed this thing up. See right here, that's 16 on the count. He said, once you understand the order, apply the order, he's going to hasten this thing. He's going to speed it up. Now read me that verse over there in 6:11. Because this is what you got coming. And now he's going to tell you who the fever is. And the little one going to chase a thousand. The small one going to become one great nation. Not nation, one. Now we can read exactly the reward of it in 6:11. Look what he said we can read. Now, in fact, read 10, because he said plainly, 11 tribes, northern king especially. Listen, don't magnify yourself against Judah. Don't do it. Although they feeble now, they lost. They don't know their way. In time, anybody out of act, what they open up, they put their hand in their pocket and say, give me some of that anyway. That's how we have failed from our lead role to anybody. I don't care, even of the 11 tribes. The 11 tribes can open up something. And they ain't got to know what it is. It's because somebody else, that look like somebody else, we put our hand in our pocket and give it to us. Give it to me. Wherever you sell it, give it to me. I'm buying it. That's the mindset that we got to deal with. And Yahweh is going to stop this sick and on the camps, because letting you know, if you do right, this is what you got coming in 6 verse 11 in the book of Hosea. What did it say?
Hosea, chapter 6, verse 11. Hosea, chapter 6,
yes,
verse 11.
You'll make it 10 and 11.
Hosea, chapter
6. You'll make it 10 and 11. The last two verses.
Verse 10,
Hosea,
verse
Hosea
11.
Six, last, yeah. Yeah. Hold on, young lion. I know you all, you get hype and get to running. Hold, let those here lay the foundation, and then you just smoothly take it on in. 6, verse 10 and 11, you're on the clock, come on.
Hosea, chapter 6, verse 10 and verse 11. I have seen an horrible thing in the nation of Israel, northern kingdom. There is a horror of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Verse 11. Also, O Yadah, he has set an harvest for you when I return the captivity of my people.
You see that? He said, it is a horrible thing going to the 11 tribes, because they have shung their nose up at Judah. And it's a horrible thing they're doing even today. But they don't know they're on the way back to salvation is through us. And we must be able to do some things to show them, and ain't no way back unless you come through us. So Issachar boy made it plain, and Paul going to pull Issachar's word. Job 22, verse 22 and 23. See, this is what we got to do. That's why we got to watch things real carefully, six anointed counsel. And right now is a crucial time for you to understand that this thing is on. Learn as much as you can, as fast as you can, but ask Yahweh to give you the increase. Because we can water all day long in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, we're not going to read, but Yahweh got to give you the increase. You got to get that puffed up spirit out of you. If you get that puffed up spirit and recognize the signs of the times, we'll be able to help you. Issachar's boy, Job 22, verse 22 and 23 says what? Listen to good. Go on that young lion, you fat and tall. You roar like a young lion. Job 22, verse 22 and 23. This is our responsibility, and Issachar boy going to tell us exactly what got to be done from the tribe of Judah. What's that?
The book of Job, the seer, chapter 22, verse 22 and 23. Job chapter 22, verse 22. Receive, I pray you, the Torah instruction from his mouth. Lay up his words in your mind. Verse 23. If you return to the Almighty Yahweh, you should be built up. You should put away sin far from your temple.
Yeah, excellent. So now, in verse number 22, the only way you got to be built up, what it say in verse 22, now, we're going to bring out the key word in 22. It ain't working no other way. The only way the 690 camps can build you up, you got to be clear what he's saying in Job 22, 22. What did he say that young lion?
Book of Job, chapter 22, verse 22. Receive, I pray you, the Torah instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your mind.
Excellent. You got to receive the Torah instruction to understand this thing. You understand one thing. Christianity, if you sniffing on Christianity, it's just like drinking poison. It ain't nothing but a slow death sentence. It's like that morphine drip. Christianity. That's a morphine drip. That's drinking poison, sipping poison. Because there ain't nothing right in Christianity according to this Bible. Nothing. They got everything wrong. Wrong name, wrong program, wrong everything wrong. And long you sipping on that Christianity, it's like a morphine drip. It's poison. Tell you who to use later on. Now, Paul went to the over in the Colossians and Colossians, the second chapter, and he pulled that verse that we read now out of Issachar's boy, Job. See, Paul pulls verses, see, right? When to know you in a proper ministry is one that pull verses. Only speak on what is being read, not inject what he think, what he picture. Watch how Paul painted by going to Colossians chapter 2, 7 down to verse 12. What he said we can read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 down to verse 12 there. Remember what you got to read in the book of Issachar's boy, Job 22, 22, 23. Now Paul come to address what he just got through hearing, but he wrote it a different way in his letter. Colossians chapter 2, 7, 9, and verse 12. Listen good. Here it comes. Come on.
The book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 and 12. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, according therewith, with thanksgiving. verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the ruminant of the world, and not after Yahuwah the Son. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Yahuwah head bodily. Verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and put it off the body of the sins of the flesh, but the circumcision of Yahuwah the Son. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherewith also you are risen with him through the covenant of the operation of Yahuwah, who has raised him from the dead.
That was a lot of meat on that bone. Read verse 7 again.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the covenant, as you have been taught, abiding therein with thanksgiving.
Yeah, that same thing Issachar boy just said. You got to be rooted and built up in the law, the covenant. Issachar boy and Paul come right back and said the same thing. See that? Paul did the same thing that Issachar. He pulled Issachar, letting you know you got to be rooted and built up in the law. Law is the covenant called the first five books. That what builds you up. So Paul ain't brought nothing to the table. He just worded a little bit different when he was sending letters around to the ones he was coming to their town. So Paul says in the 24th chapter of Acts, look what Paul said in 24 verse 14. See, Apostle Paul, and that's why Peter had to address Paul, and that's why they can't understand the sixth anointing camps neither. Because we said some things that they don't understand because the reason why, because Christianity has blinded your mind. So if you got any Christianity, it's like a morphine drip or drinking poison straight up. Christianity is poison to the children of Israel. Like a morphine drip. It just takes you right away, like Calgon commercial. Take you right away into foolishness. Always disembobulated. Because you thought it was one way and it's a total different way. And that's Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 24:14. Listen to this.
The book of Acts chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way, which they should call heresy, so worship I, Yahuwah my Father, believe in all things which are written in the Torah instruction of the first five books, and in the sea.
You hear that? You see what Paul said? Paul said, I believe everything that's written in the Torah instruction in the field. See, that Apostle Paul. But they don't want to read what he says, what he believes. You want to believe what you think he believed because his letters was weighty and heavy. You want to twist Paul's writing, but Paul tell you what he believed. Everything that Moses wrote and everything the seals wrote, he believed it and taught it and lived it after Yahuwah and beat him up real good and sure he got to suffer, but now he became a great believer. Matter of fact, I need to put a rabbit out of the hat on that one. 1:13 and 17 of 1 Timothy. I got to pull some out behind that with our young line. Now, Paul said some good stuff. And we're just going to probably pull it out. And in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul made a final statement there. I want to take a shot at that young line. In 1:13 and 17, I want to take a shot at that. First Timothy, I want to take a shot at something there, young line. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, what it says in 1:13?
The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 reads, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurer, but I attained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
You see that? You see your Paul say? He said, see, he was taught by the principal man of Southern Kingdom. But a lot of them was, you know, they were, but Paul was taught wrong. And see, that's one thing we fail to realize, and we don't have a spirit to or repentance that you've been taught wrong. And until the 609 accounts teach you, Latter-day Saints, World Council of Churches, the Roman Catholic Church, those that's in there that want to know the truth, you've been taught wrong. Christianity is wrong. It's like a morphine drip, and it's poison. It's going to key. It's going to key in the mind because it's contrary to everything written in the Bible. But Paul came clean and says, I confess my fault. Now, once he got cleaned up by Ananias, now he able to make, what statement he make in 1:13? What did he say again in 1:13 again? 1 Timothy 1:13. And I need the other verse where he says, when he said, now help me out there, young lion, when he said, now behind that, he said, now I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of a gospel. After he first recognized that he was in error. And you know, the world gonna have to recognize they in error. Then for they can say, I'm not ashamed of a gospel. But the first thing you gotta do is have you some 1 Timothy 1:13. What did it say in 1:13 again?
1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 13 reads, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurer, but I attained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
You see that? You see that? So, and that's what the world going to have to do, 609 accounts. I'm telling you now, they're going to come time appointed. But we trying to do all we can in leadership to get you prepared to have the Bible answer, not the world answer. Now, the verse I need to go with that young line where he talks about, now I'm not ashamed of the gospel. See, now I'm not ashamed. Mm-hmm. After he first confessed that he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and he injured a lot of people because he did it in ignorance and unbelief. And that's what's going on right now. See, anytime, but until we come clean to understand the way we've been taught by Christianity, college degrees, high school diplomas, grammar school graduation papers, you know, throw all that in, out. We read in Sirach chapter 14, 34, until you reform your mind, then you'll be kept alive. Then you work with. You got to get all that garbage out your mind. Any degrees you got that you have learned, and you ever learned from the 609 camp, put all that to the side. It ain't going to hold up nowhere. That's why we're serious about this thing. And you got to come to one of the 609 camps as a little child, and then we can help. Don't bring no big mouth and don't bring no cutting the eyes out. What we show you is from Yahweh, believe it and run with it. Now, I need that verse where it's talked about there, young lion. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That was Paul. It's the power to do something for you. Can you help those see out? Right now he's struggling on that verse right there. Can you help those see out on that verse there, young lion?
And I'm trying to get my eyes on it.
That's right. Mm. I'll tell you what we do. We'll table that verse. Well, that verse will go good when you come out of 1:13, because Paul says, I'm not ashamed of a gospel. See, I'm not there like I want to. I'm ran back trying to deliver my part. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what I need right now. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that verse for right now. But, you know, because now reading Paul ain't ashamed of the gospel, because you see now he got the facts on the table now that he came clean and repented, that he was a blasphemer, but he done it all because he was ignorant. See, not because he wasn't smart, he was very learned, but he wasn't smart in the knowledge of Yahweh. So you can have all the sense in the world. You might get taxes and do everything. You can read anything, any word. You can break it down. But you got to understand one thing. There's a whole different teaching as to understand Yahweh's word. And you're not going to get that unless you get it from one that is anointed, out of leadership. You're not going to get it. You can bum around and read this book all you want. You ain't getting nowhere with it. We'll tell you every time when we tell you one thing, okay, that sounds good. Now precept that. Now it's a lot. We're going to put a pistol on you. You can't precept it because he ain't allow you to do it. He ain't allow you to precept nothing you just got through saying. Because if you precept it, you can see it on your mind up, but you see it. See? But we'll leave that on the table.
Romans 1:16.
That's it?
Yeah, Romans.
Yeah, that's it. Yep, Romans 1:16, that's it. And that's the precept there to that Timothy. Now read that again. Read that Timothy again at 1 Timothy, 1:13. Then we're going to precept that to Romans. Chapter what, brother?
Chapter 1:16.
Okay, now let's rewind it back to 1 Timothy 1:13. Then we see how Paul was breathing out. Give me Acts 8:1. Let me show you what Paul was doing in Romans 8:1. Acts 8:1. See, look what Paul was doing. But remember, just told you, he died in ignorance. And Acts is before Timothy. Look how Paul was working in Acts 8:1. Listen, watch this.
The book of Acts 8:1. And Saul was consistent until his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the temple, which is at Yabdah, Judah. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Yabdah and Samaria, except the apostles.
Okay. Now, what was Paul doing in 8:1?
Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the temple.
You see that? Okay, now you hear that? So Paul was all in on that folly. Paul was all in. He was giving all his might. Paul was all in on the persecution of Judah. That's what he's talking about right there, the saints. So Paul was all in. But Paul now, after Yahweh had worked him over, now Paul made a statement in 1:13. What does Paul say again? Now we're going to paint the picture. 1:13, what did he say? 1 Timothy 1:13.
1 Timothy 1:13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurer, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
You see that? So Paul thought he was doing right. Matter of fact, come on back and read 11 down to verse 13. See, Paul thought he was doing right. See, a lot of people think they, a lot of people think you have learned Christianity all your life. Your parents have taught you Christianity Sunday, Lord God and Jesus. You really think that you've been doing right. You haven't. That's a morphine drip. It's like drinking poison, slowly drinking poison. It's going to mess your mind up, then you're going to kill your body. That's exactly what you have did. But Paul, after he was cleaned up, because Yahweh said to him, he said, Paul, why are you persecuting me, Paul? And he said, Paul said in that same ninth chapter, who are you? Yahweh? Yeah. He said, Paul, you can't kick against this word, Paul. Then Paul came clean and said, Yahweh, what do you want me to do? And that's exactly what's going to happen with all these big dignitaries. It's going to say to the voices of the two Israelites, what do you want me to do? What? Mark my words, what they're going to say. All the big dignitaries, Latter-day Saints, the Roman Catholic Church, World Council of Churches, all going to come clean. That's why we're going out our way. But it's our redeeming service. We get the six anointed camps on their feet according to the word of Yahweh. But what kind of way? In order. In order. You got to be in order to make this work. We're showing you how you do it in order. So Paul thought he was doing right. But Paul says he was sending to everybody's death and everything else. We could have read more about it, but the time said we ain't going to do it. But then Paul said in Timothy, all he was doing was at 1:13. That means Paul repented. Read 1:13 again.
First Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and Israel, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
Yeah, but I want you to back up to 11 down to verse 13. Yeah, I want you to walk into that. Pick up verse 11 down to verse 13, 1 Timothy 11 to 13 there, young man.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the righteous covenant of the blessed Yahweh, which was committed to my trust. Verse 12. And I thank Yahweh the Son, Abba Yahweh, who had enabled me for that he counted me righteous, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13.
Yeah.
Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
You see that? Now that's called... That's called a confession, a clean confession Paul just made. Now Paul can say this in Romans. Now we can go to Romans and see what Paul says in 1:16. Now listen to Paul now. After all that good talk, now watch what Paul says in 1:16.
Book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, read. I am not ashamed of the covenant of Yahweh, the Son, for it is the power of Yahweh unto salvation to everyone that believes, to Yada first, and also to the Northern King.
So you see, now I'm not ashamed of this covenant, because it's the power to salvation. And remember, we read earlier showing you the salvation, who is for first. And that's why we're showing you soundly, if been taught up on the Christianity, you got to come clean like Paul just got through coming clean and let you know the things he did. He thought he was doing right, but he found out he was not doing right. And that same thing when you do the research of Christianity. It's contrary to the Bible, but you have to be taught by one of the members of the six anointed camps that got the anointing on him to show you that Christianity is like a morphine drip. It's like drinking poison. Slowly kill your brain, kill your body. And that's in the early part of the lesson. Remember one thing. Those that come on network early, we got a rebroadcast at 9:15. You go back on this whole broadcast, and you get more understanding at 9:15 when it rebroadcasts this thing back over. So all you put in YHWH Radio Live, YHWH Radio Live, and just hear the broadcast entirely. And then you get a clear understanding where we're coming from. But when you come in 2 hours late, you're going to be out of pocket and up on the Christianity. You're going to be all over the place in the mind. Now, good. So now, let's go back now. We read what Peter said there. Now, I'm going to take care of 15. Now, come back to verse 16. Acts 3:15, you read 3:15. We're going to take care of that. Now, let's read 3:16. Now, Peter is addressing Paul. A lot of Judah didn't understand the letters he was writing. So now we're going to take care of 3:15 real good. Now let's read 1 Peter 3:16. Let's see what we can get out of 3:16 now. Come on. Well, that's 2 Peter.
Yes, 2 Peter.
Okay, go ahead.
Chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 16 reads, "As also to all his letters, speaking in depth of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood."
Which see, Paul's letters that he was writing to Judah and Israel that was scattered, he was writing them letters from a learned position. And he wrote it down, but he didn't deviate from the scriptures, but he wrote it in a, like, a upper grade letter to you, and if you're not learned in the scriptures, you think Paul's saying one thing when he's saying another. And that would happen in the 15th chapter. We can't take care of it in the ninth lesson, but we'll come back Wednesday night at 6 o'clock and take care of the 15th chapter, verse 1, because Paul was called to the carpet pertaining to his writing. And we'll take care of that in the next lesson. No class tomorrow. Back on airways, 6 p.m. Wednesday. Now, so now, read verse 16 again, young lion.
Hey, 2 Peter, chief speaker of the nation of Israel, chapter 3, verse 16. Read, "As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are learned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, and to their own destruction."
You see that? So those that are learned, that's based upon a Christianity, you think Paul is bringing something new. And Paul has shown soundly in tape number 165 that everything he wrote was pertaining to the seers and Moses. He didn't deviate from that, but he wrote it in such a high level, you think Paul was bringing something totally different, but no, he was saying the same thing. That's why you got to be taught right. Back in Reverse 15 again, because something in 15 that we need to touch on while we're there. Read verse 15 again. 2 Peter chapter 3,
verse 15. "And account that the long suffering of our Yahuwah is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you."
The wisdom that was given to Paul to go. Okay, good. Now, read verse 16 again.
Verse 16 reads, "As also to all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that
17.
Are unlearned." Verse 17. "You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness."
Verse 18.
"But grow in mercy and in the knowledge of our Yahuwah the Son. To him be honor both now and forever." Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. So Paul is writing these letters to scattered Judah that read the letters in the northern kingdom, because Judah knew he supposed to teach. He supposed to teach this thing to the northern kingdom that was scattered of the 10 tribes, 11 tribes. But they read Paul's letter, and they thinking Paul was saying one thing, and well, Paul was saying something else. Now, here goes a case in point. This letter was intercepted by Judah that he was writing to northern kingdom that's over there in Corinthians. In the 7th chapter, look what he said. Look what happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Listen, now watch. Now listen to what, and they read this wrong, but and watch me break it down what Paul really saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18 and 19, what did he say?
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping of the Torah instruction of the first five books of Yahweh.
And you see that? Now, they'll take this letter, what Paul just wrote, that they'll read half of it and run with it and saying, you ain't got to be circumcised. You ain't got to wear no garments. We ain't got to wear no fringes. You ain't got to keep no Sabbath day. You ain't got to keep no feast day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part they get out of it. Right there. That's the part they're going to run with it. Paul saying, you ain't got to do this no more. Paul got a strange, that ain't what Paul was saying. See, they are in love with twist Paul's writing. Paul's saying that you can be circumcised and you not keeping Torah instruction, the man still going to burn you in the fire. You can know the name, and now, case in point, what Paul is saying in 7:21 of Matthew. See, they twist Paul's writing like Paul bringing something different. No, look what Paul's saying in Matthew 7:21. What Paul's saying?
We go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Yahweh, Yahweh, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
So you say you can know his name, four letters, but if you're not doing his will, the man still going to burn you in the fire. That's the same thing Paul was saying. He was telling about the one that knew about circumcision. He said, of course you circumcised, but if your mind ain't right. Now, Paul pulled that verse in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 and 4. This is what Paul was saying. See, remember, Paul was writing a letter. And now they compressed Paul's letter and put it into a booklet form now. But he was writing a letter saying, so you is circumcised. But if you're not keeping what he got written in his Bible, it profits you nothing. That's what Paul said. How we know that? We're going to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 and 4. This is what Paul's saying. And that's why Peter has to address Paul's letter. You can have your fringes on. You be keeping it, you can do it all that. But if you ain't doing Yahweh's will, the man still gonna burn you in the fire. That's what Paul was saying. If your spirit ain't right, he gonna burn you in the fire. You gotta have your spirit right, especially if you're a teacher. This is what Paul was saying in Jeremiah 4, 1 and 4. Watch this. Come on.
The book of Jeremiah says chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 reads. If you return, O Israel, said Yahweh, return to me, and if you will put away your abomination out of my sight, then shall you not remove. Verse 2, and you shall swear.
Four.
Oh, yeah.
One and four.
Verse 4. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4. Circumcise yourself unto Yahuwah and take away the foreskins of your mind, your man of Yahdah, and the inhabitants of Yahdah Judah. Let my fury come forth like fire and burn the none that quench it because of the evil of your door.
You hear the man say it? He was saying, circumcise your mind to Yahuwah. You can have all the trimmings, but you ain't got your mind right, the man going to burn you in the fire. That was Paul was saying by pulling Jeremiah 4, verse 1 and 4. But Judah only caught the part in 7:18. And they took that and ran with it, and thinking Paul saying, you don't have to be circumcised. Paul wasn't saying that. He can say you could be circumcised, but if you're not keeping what's written in his Bible, he going to burn you in the fire like everybody else. Because reason why he said that, because of Matthew 23, verse 1. Watch what it said in 23, verse 1 of Matthew. They jumped out in Paul's writing and got Paul bringing a new teaching. Paul ain't brought no new teaching. Paul brought everything to everybody else. There were letters that was compiled and put in booklet forms. But Paul was quoting everything was written from Malachi back to Genesis to the letter. He just said it at a higher level, and that's why Peter came back to address Paul's writing. It's hard to be understood. You got it? Good. All right. Matthew 23, verse 1. Listen to this.
The book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 1, reads, then spake thy father's son to the multitude, and says follows.
Verse 2 reads,
saying, scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.
Go ahead.
Verse 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe and do, but you do not, you after their works, but they say, and do not.
He said, the one that sit in Moses' seat, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're going to tell you some things just to make themselves look good. They're going to tell you one thing. They're going to do total opposite of it. He said, observe what they say because they're in the leadership position. But do nothing after them exactly what they tell you. They're buying heavy burdens on you and won't stick their hand in nothing. They'll tell you what to do. They knew the law, but they twist the law in front of your face. And that was Yahuwah the Son says. As a matter of fact, we read in Titus 23, 1 down to verse 5. Listen to what the Almighty Son said to the followers about the leadership that was in Judah. 23, 1 down to verse 5. Listen good. Come on.
Okay. Get verse 4 and 5.
Yeah, 4 and 5.
Matthew 23, verse 4 and verse 5. Matthew 23, verse 4. For they bear heavy burdens and grievous to be born, and laid them on man's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them, but one of their fingers. Verse 5. For all their work they do was to be seen of man. They make broad their popularity, enlarge their borders, the borders of their garments.
You say all they doing is be seen among men. And that's why you hear today Christianity, Islam, and Judaism teaching. All that ain't number to show is contrary to the Bible. He said they will lead out like they own something, but they ain't going to lift their hand and do nothing but tell you about what you do for them. He said, now you got to do what they tell you to do, but observe what they're saying because they in error. And that's what he says in Matthew 23. And he always got their best garments on and they fringes and got everything going for them, looking like they righteous than thou, but not in the mind. He said, you got to watch all that from the pages of the book because Paul made it plain in Acts 26, verse 22. What did Paul say? Acts 26, verse 22.
Okay, we go to the book of Acts. chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Read. Having therefore obtained help of Yahweh, I continue in this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other thing than those which the tears of Moses did say shall come.
You see that? You see what he said? He said, Paul said, look at you. No, y'all just don't understand my writing in these letters. He said, but I ain't saying nothing no different between what Moses said in the seals. He said, the same thing they saying, I'm just rehearsing the righteous act. I just worded in my letters a little bit higher with my education I received from the Pharisees and Galileans. But I'm saying the same thing that they saying. I ain't saying no different than what they saying. So Paul says, look, he said in 18 verse 4, and what he did. 18 verse 4 of Acts. See, wherever Paul was at, he done nothing no different than everything was told in the first five books. Here Paul is, way outside Judah, Acts 18 verse 4. Let's see what happened. Come on.
Acts chapter 18 verse 4. And he reasoned in the temple every Sabbath, and persuaded Yahdah Judah, the southern kingdom, and of the northern kingdom of Israel.
You see that? So Paul went to the temple every Sabbath day like everybody else did. He didn't go on the first day of the week. He done the same thing that was told to do in Leviticus 2 and 3, 1, 2, and 3. What do you say? Watch this. See, Paul reasoned with southern kingdom of Israel and northern king of Israel, even outside of Jerusalem, polluted for Judah. He done the same thing. But they'll twist Paul's writing, and like Paul done brought something different. No, Paul didn't know I haven't. He said, I went and reasoned with the Israelites every Sabbath day. Now, where he pull that from? Leviticus 23, 1, 2, and 3. What
do you say? The book of Leviticus at the every chapter, chapter 23, verse 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel, and says to them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be righteous gathered, even these are my feasts. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a righteous gathering. You should do no work therewith. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh and all your dwellings.
You see that? 24 verse 1 and 8. 24 verse 1 and 8 of Leviticus. 24 verse 1 and 8.
Leviticus chapter 24 verse 1 and verse 8. Leviticus 24 verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses saying, verse 8 reads, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
So, now here's Paul is in the 17th chapter of 1, 2, and 3 of Acts. Now watch. Paul ain't done nothing different than everybody where the law was given then. Paul only done was magnifying the law in his time. 17 chapter of Acts 1, 2, and 3. What does it say?
The book of Acts chapter 17, verse 1, 2, and 3. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Hippolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the temple of Yahdah Judah. Verse 2. And Paul and his matter was willing to them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture. Verse 3, read, open and alleging that Yahweh the Son must be have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Yahweh the Son, who I taught unto you, is Yahweh.
So you see this? He went three Sabbaths in a row, where it was a temple of Judah that was way over here in Thessalonica. So you see, you had temples over there. So Paul went in three Sabbaths. So how was the Sabbath day done away with? What Paul doing going forward? See that? Paul went in for three Sabbaths, and he reasoned with them pertaining to what was written in the scriptures. Now read 18:4 again.
Okay, Acts chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the temple every Sabbath, persuading of Yahdah, the other kingdom, and of the northern kingdom of Israel.
You see that? So Paul done the same thing when we read Luke chapter 4. He's following the same thing that the Almighty Son did in 4:16 of Luke. Let's see what Paul was pulling that from to do the same thing. And you know what? Like I keep telling you, Christianity is what you call a morphine drip. It's like drinking poison. Slowly, it kills your brain and it kills your body. Christianity is contrary to the Bible. And they quote Paul, but he leave out all the good stuff that Paul did. Now, Paul pulled that verse from 4:16 of the book of Luke. What did it say? Luke 4:16.
The book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
You see that? So the son was following Paul was following Yahweh the Son. As Yahweh the Son went to the temple on the Sabbath day. Wherever Paul was at, he done the same thing. And now if he got scattered anywhere, his clock would start ticking. And look what Paul says in the 18th chapter. When it comes down to doing what's written. Now, in the 18th chapter of Acts, let's look at what it says in verse 19 down to verse 21. Now, here's Paul. Everybody quotes Paul like Paul brought some new teacher. No, they haven't. You just, Christianity and the wrong persons is teaching you about Paul. And that's why you have to learn from the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. And go over the tape at 9:15, putting in YHWH Radio Live, and hear the whole foundation, but you won't come in and scratching your head, although on the international side, it's over 500,000 plus on the network as we speak. But look what it says over here in Acts chapter 18, verse 19 through 21. Listen good what it said. Paul to them. Come on.
Acts chapter 18, verse 19 and 21. Acts chapter 18, verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered to the temple and reasoned with Yahdah Jews. Verse 20. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he contended not. Verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep his feet that cometh to Yahdah, Judah. But I will turn again unto you if Yahweh will. And he fell from his feet.
You see that? He got his boats and went on about his business. He knows that the feast day is to be kept. And they said, hey, as Judah said to him at the temple, hey, say, Paul, he said, no. I got to get back and keep the feast. There's a feast coming up. Do you know there's a feast coming up in next month called the Feast of Tabernacles? They're going to come all over the country for the Feast of Tabernacles. You're not going to be hearing nothing about it on TV, not on that one house eight or in your newspaper. But Paul said, no, I'm here to teach y'all, but right now it's time for a feast. I got to get up out of here and get to the feast. See that? Now, in the 19th chapter of Acts. Look what it says in verse 10 and 17. Because he was teaching Judah, but you think Judah is the Jew. The Jew is somebody else. The Jew in the Bible is Judah. The Greek in the Bible is Northern Kingdom. But you got to be taught that. You think he's teaching other people. No, his mission was to teach the scattered Israelites in the brain to come back to the covenant. So he out of Jerusalem, Judah. In the 19th chapter, verse 10 and 17, listen to this.
Acts chapter 19, verse 10 and verse 17. Acts chapter 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all day was dwelt in Asia, heard the word of Yahuwah, both Yada of Judah and of the northern king.
You see that? Hold that part. You see that? They way over in Asia. You see, way over in Asia. And what's over in Asia? See, you understand something. Every slave ship that's taking you places, you was already there all the time. This is before 96 A.D. You had the one you call Southern and Northern King of Israel. It was already there for Paul over there teaching right here. And this is before 96 A.D. So you get around a 1300 and a 1400 talking about some slave ship taking. Sure, you were taking that for your disobedience. But don't think that you weren't already there all the time. Because Paul over there teaching in Asia to who? Both Southern Kingdom and Northern Kingdom. And how we know that? Back up to Jeremiah 30 verse 4, come right back. How we know there's Southern and Northern Kingdom? We just preach up the Bible back to Jeremiah 30 verse 4, and we'll find out exactly what this Bible is all about. Jeremiah 30 verse 4.
Book of Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 4. And these are the words that Yahuwah spake concerning Israel, the northern kingdom, and concerning Judah, southern kingdom.
You see that? This whole Bible, see, that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. This whole Bible is concerning southern kingdom, Judah, northern kingdom, Israel. There's it there, 30 verse 4. And you jump down there and you get Christianity out of something that's taught Southern, Northern Kingdom that's scattered to every nation upon the sun, and Judah's job is to go find them and show them the word of the Almighty. That's why he said what he had to do by the mouth of Ezekiel in 39:21. That's why he said he had to do this. Ezekiel 39, verse 21, what did it say?
We're going to the book of Ezekiel 39, Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 21. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 21. And I will set my honor among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them.
So what do you mean by he will see his glory, his honor, his righteousness? Who is this he talking about he going to sit among the nations? So he says, told Ezekiel to write, I'm going to take my glory, my honor, and my righteousness, and I'm going to set them among the nations. Now, who is you talking about? If you don't precept your Bible, you'll never come up with the answer. You don't let nobody tell you anything unless they precept your Bible. Now, who are you going to put among the nations, which is his honor, his glory, and his righteousness? Who is that that we can read? Back up to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. Isaiah 11, verse 12. Let's see who he going to set among all the nations to make sure they see this thing unfold and correct the 11 tribes of the era. Let's see by name who he going to set among all the nations that we can read. Listen to this. Come on.
Book Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12, read. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation. And he shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together dispersed of Yada Judah from the four corners of the earth.
You see that? So now you see who his honor, his glory, his righteousness is? Judah, the one you call African-American Negro, color. That's the one he got in every nation upon the sun to hear this message and wake up and get on about your business of teaching being a lead tribe. And that's what Paul said in 13 chapter. Look what Paul said at Acts 13. See, Paul understood this thing. He knew, see, they quote Paul wrong because everybody's full of Christianity. They're not quoting Paul according to the Bible. Look what Paul says in Acts 13, verse 42. Make it 44, make it sound good. 44. Acts 13, 44. Listen good.
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 44, reads, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Yahweh."
You see that? The next Sabbath day, not the next Sunday, not the next Monday, the next Sabbath day come up, everybody came out to hear what? The word of Yahweh. So you see that? Now, Paul was at the great big temple site, and you always got what you call the Christian Judah, called like the T.D. Jakes and the Klepto Dollars and the Benita Biden. You got them Christians. They always going to be around to show you where you ain't got to keep the Sabbath day. But here's Paul. The next Sabbath day came the whole city together. For what reason? To hear the word of Yahweh. But look what happened in verse 45.
Acts chapter 13, verse 45 reads, "But when Yada saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming."
You see that? You always gonna have some that gonna contradict, like they do the six anointed council, voices over two in life. But we know it ain't a ministry on the face of the globe can entertain with the six anointed council, voices over two in life. We clear about it. And that's why we open up eyes all over the world and the understanding on what Paul really is saying. Paul understood the scriptures. But you always got some Maccabees 1:11. See, always going to be around. Maccabees 1:11, what it say? Maccabees 1:11.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 11 reads, "In old days went there out of Israel, Yadah Judah, wicked man, who persuaded many, saying, let us make a covenant with Esau and his five sons that are round about us. But since we departed from them, we had much sorrow."
You see that? You always going to have Judah, wicked Judah, always going to tell you that we need to stay up on the Christianity, Lord God and Jesus, and keeping Sunday and Easter and Christmas. And they'll go to their grave with it. But guess what? They're going to go to their grave with it and going to take you with it too. So they're always going to be around those that can persuade you to don't keep the Sabbath day because it's done away with. If that's the case, what's Paul doing keeping way over here in the book of Acts? The Almighty Son is back on the right hand of the Father. So if anybody knew the Sabbath day was to be done away with, it's Paul. But Paul over here right now, coming to the southern kingdom, and everybody that was persuaded came, but you always got some wicked that saying you ain't got to keep the Sabbath day. You can keep the first day of the week and you'd be just as fine. But see, that's an error. That's called the morphine drip. Drip, drip, drip. That's like drinking poison. Paul kept the Sabbath day. Sundown on Friday, sundown on Saturday. That's a Sabbath day. Son kept the Sabbath day. Son died on Friday. sun died on Saturday. Huh? He made it plain in 2 Peter 2, verse 20 to 22. What did he say? He's telling you, Peter, the chief figure nation of Israel, is telling you something out of his book. He was the one in charge after the son went back to heaven. Look what he says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. What he said, we can read there, young lion, come on.
Chief speaker of the nation of Israel, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 reads, "But after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh the Son and Savior, Yahweh the Son, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Verse 21, "But it has been better for them not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the righteous Torah instruction delivered unto them." Verse 22 reads, "But it has happened unto them concerning the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was watched to her wallowing in the mirth."
Is it? He says, it's better for you not to even know this stuff. And act like you pay it no never mind and still keep your tradition. He says, it's better for you not to even know it. After you know that the true Sabbath day is when the sun set on Friday and the sun set on Saturday. And we got six locations. Suppose you gather yourself together, O nation, not desire, and Zephaniah 2:1. And you pay it no never mind. That's on you. That's when your clock starts ticking. Now back up to the first book of Peter. And if you going to do, Peter is telling you what to do that you can read. Now back up to the first book of Peter, chapter 20, and we'll keep reading until we get our point. First Peter 2:20. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
First Peter chapter 2, verse 20 reads, "But what honor is it when you be buffered with your faults? You should take it patiently. But if you would do you well, suffer for it. You take it patiently. This is acceptable with Yahweh."
21
reads, "But even if unto you are called, because Yahweh the Son also suffered for us, leaving us in an example that we should follow his steps."
You see that? Go ahead. 22.
"Who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth."
You see that?
23.
So he left you example. What example he left you? Luke 4:16. What example did he leave you for you to follow into his steps? You say you believe in the mighty one. He said, well, Peter said he left you an example. He said, if you're going to get to the kingdom, you got to follow his steps. What is the step that we can read? Let's pick up verse 12 down to verse 16. Luke chapter 4, 12 down to verse 16. Listen to this. He said, now, he left you something to follow. He said, you want to follow his steps? You call him his name, right? Okay, let's see what his steps is in 4, 12 through 16. Come on. Luke
chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 12. "And Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, it is said, you shall not tempt Yahweh your Yahweh. Verse 13. And when Satan the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Verse 14. "And Yahweh the Son returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about." Verse 15. "And he taught in their temples, being honor of all." Verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read."
You see that? He said, now you're supposed to follow his steps and his example. That was Peter left written. And what did he do? He went to the temple on the sunset on Friday and sunset on Saturday. That's the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, it ain't the first day of the week. The only blessed day in the Bible is Genesis 2, verse 3. What does it say in Genesis 2, verse 3? See, the only blessed day in the Bible. That's why we said Christianity is the opposite of the Bible. The only blessed day in the Bible is what we can read when no man was even created in Genesis 2, verse 3. What does it say in Genesis 2, verse 3?
The first book of the heavenly tablets, the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 3 reads, "And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which Yahweh created and made."
What day he blessed again?
The seventh day.
What day he blessed again? 7 days. You take your calendar. You take your calendar and you look at it. In all your calendars, you see where on your far left-hand side, you see Sunday. And below that, that's one. Tuesday is two. Wednesday is four. Thursday is five. Friday is six. Saturday is seven. That's the day he blessed, beloved. The blessed day is right on your in your kitchen, on your calendar. You see, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, five, Friday, and Saturday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The blessed day is number 7. That's Saturday. You see, I was being taught wrong by our families, Christianity, and everything. But it's time now to come up out of that sleep. It's time now to come up out of that sleep. Let's read that, what he says in Romans 13:11-14. Let's read that. See, it's time to wake up out of that sleep. That we in a deep sleep called Christianity. Look what Paul addressing the Israelites that were scattered in Rome. He came over there to tell them something in the 13th chapter, 11-14. Let's see what Paul told them, what they got to do. Romans 13:11-14.
The book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Read. "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. 14. But put you on Yahweh the Son, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof."
He said, trying to work about that sleep. He said, trying to get about that deep sleep. I don't care how good it looks. You got it written over there in the 14th verse 4 of Job. You got it written. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how you dress up on the wrong day. But he told Issachar boy Job in 14 verse 4, what do you think about all that good, pretty stuff? Let's see what he said we can read in Issachar boy, the book of Job, 14 verse 4. What does it say?
The book of Job, you see it, chapter 14 verse 4, reads, "Who could bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one."
Not one. He ain't say it as a question. He's letting you know, not one. You can't take something that's unclean and make it clean. I don't care how you dress up to go and worship on. Sunday is the wrong day. That's the first day of the week. That's not the blessed day. Who can take something unclean and make it clean? Not one. I don't care how they look going on the wrong day. It's unclean. I'm keeping Sunday as your worshiping day. That's the wrong day. Saturday is the blessed day. Who can make it clean? Not one. Now, where he pull that from? Where he pull that from? Let's back up to where he had to pull that. Issachar boy Job had to pull that from somewhere. Where he pull that verse from? back up on the left side of your book and go to Leviticus chapter 11, pick it verse 42 to 44. And see where he pulled that verse from. See, remember, everybody in the Bible, all they pulled, because all the book they had was Malachi down to Genesis. So then they said they had to read it. You take Paul's writing, everybody writing it twisted. But they was quoting everybody from Malachi to Genesis. Who can make a clean thing out of unclean things? Not one. What was he pulling that from? We're going to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 42, down to verse 44. Listen to this.
The book of Leviticus of the Heavenly Tabernacle, chapter 11, verse 42 to 44. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 42. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, and whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth, them you should not eat. For they are an abomination. Verse 43. You should not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither should you make yourself unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. Verse 44. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. You should therefore sanctify yourself. You should be righteous. For I am righteous. Neither should you defile yourselves with any matter of creeping things that creep upon the earth.
So he's letting you know that you got to be righteous. But just take him to the dietary, and we'll swing up to Leviticus and see if we tie that in. That's talking about the food that you put in your mouth. We want to cause you all the problems you got today. But he's letting you know, be righteous because he's righteous. But we go on to the 10th chapter of Leviticus and see what he's saying pertaining to a little bit more what we're talking about by going to the 10th chapter of Leviticus. And we're going to look at what he says in the 10th chapter of Leviticus, verse number 10 and 11. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. What does he say?
The book of Leviticus of the Heavenly Tabernacle, chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. Read Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. And that you may put difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, and between the unclean and the clean. Verse 11. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses.
He said, now you got to show them the difference between righteous and unrighteous. And who you say you teach that to? The children of Israel. Who is he today? The one you call African American Negro in color. You got to teach him that Christianity Sunday going is not the Bible. That's Christianity. That's a morphine drug. You got to teach the children of a book with the one you call the Christian, with all in all these establishments up under Christianity and Sunday. Let them know you cannot make something unclean clean. And what's clean, you can't make it unclean. The blessed day of the Bible is the Sabbath day. Sunset Friday, sunset Saturday. That's the end of it. You can't do it when you get ready, because when you do it when the way you want to do it, he out of his own mouth told you what he think about you. If you do things the way the world have taught you in St. John 10:1, this is what he called you when you want to ignore what the Bible's saying and do it the way you want to do it, because your mama, your daddy, your sister, your grandmother done it. Paul came clean that he said he done it because he was what? In 1 Timothy 1:13. Let's see what Paul say again in 1:13 before we read that verse. See, Paul, once he found out that he was in error, he wasn't mind. He didn't mind coming clean, 13. Look what Paul said he did.
Book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief.
You see that? He said, I've done it. I just followed my mother. I'm following my dad and my big brother, my big sister. I thought they were taught right. I didn't know that going to worship on the wrong day. I thought it was the right day, but now I know it, that's not the right day. So now you can continue to do ignorance. He said, Paul had to come clean. I've done what I was doing, and I thought I was taught right. But I'm found out now I wasn't taught right. The son kept the Sabbath day. Paul kept the Sabbath day. Everybody in the Bible kept the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is not every day. It's sunset Friday, sunset Saturday. That's the end of it. And then you can do it the way you want to do it, because if you do it the way you want to do it, he came right in the body and told you in 10:1 what you're doing. St. John 10:1, what it say?
Beloved Judge, chapter 10, verse 1 reads, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbed it up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber.
He said, you a thief and a robber. You will try to do it some other way. He said, he made it plain in the book of Michael. Look what he says in the book of Michael. He made it plain in the book of Michael. And look what he says. In Michael chapter 2, verse 7. What did he say?
The book of Michael, chapter 2, verse 7 reads, all you that are named the nation of Israel is the spirit of Yahweh strange. Our deeds is doing.
Straight.
Straight.
That word is straight. He says, let me read it. He said, Micah 2, verse 7. He said, O thou that is named by the family of Israel, is the spirit of Yahweh straight? Are these his doing? Do not my words be good to him that walks upright? He said, if this is my doing, he said, I never told you. My word is straight. And he made it plain how you're supposed to live, and they pulled that verse from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That verse was pulled. He said, my word is straight. All you got to do is look at his Bible, line up to what I got and what I did, and do the same thing, and I bet a man you're heading in the right direction. He said, my word is straight. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, let's talk about it, young lion. What does it say in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3?
Fifth book of the Torah instructions, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you knew is not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh do man live.
So man lived by every word that received out of the mouth. And that's what all the seals was doing, was quoting back there. And then when he came back in the body, in Matthew 4, verse 4, what did he say?
The book of Matthew.
Matthew 4,
chapter
4.
4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh.
That's how you live, by what proceeded out of his mouth. Luke 4, verse 4.
Book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 4, reads, and Yahweh the Son answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yahweh.
Man lived by every word that he said. And he gave you a day to worship him on called the Sabbath day. He blessed that day, not the first day of the week. The temple bouncer gave you the first day of the week called Christianity, which is contrary to the Bible. Now, who was he addressing all this information to? Let's see what the leaders have said in Isaiah chapter 28:15 down to verse 18. It's talking about the leaders of Israel, the one you call African American, Negro, and color. The leaders that address you today. Look what they have did according to the prophecy of Isaiah 28, verse number 14 down to verse 18. Isaiah 28, 14. Think of verse 15 for time's sake. 15 down to verse 18.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 15 to 18. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and honest and under falsehood we have hid ourselves.
You heard that point. You see what he said? You see what the leaders told you? See, they all made a covenant with death. And they said, no, there ain't nothing going to happen. Somewhere down the line, Mr. White Man and Mrs. White Woman going to pull us through. See, that's a covenant with death when you contrary to Bible and Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. That's a covenant with death, you mean? You see, he said, you have made a covenant with death. When he tell you, walk the way he tell you to walk, and we tell you to walk in 1 John chapter 2, 1, 6. Let's go to 1 John chapter, well, 2 John 1, 6. Give me what I need. All on the right side of the book. Give me 1, verse 6. What do you tell you how you
yes,
walk,
sir.
How you supposed to walk?
Are we going to 2 John? We go to 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. Read. And this is love, that we walk after the Torah instruction. This is the Torah instruction, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it.
He said, that's love. See, love ain't kissing on the jaw, patting on the cheek. Love is walking in them first five books. That's love. Then he made it plain to you, if you got his love in 1 John 3, 22 says what? So if you got his love, look what he says to you, 12 tribes of Israel that scattered. 1 John 3, 22.
1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we add, we receive of him, because we keep the Torah instructions of the first five books and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
He said, now ask me something. He said, if you do it just like your sons, your daughters, and you go your job to get your paycheck from week to week, long as you please the one that ran the paycheck, you know you entitled to another paycheck coming. But suppose you do things contrary to the job requirement, how many paychecks are you going to get? See? Same thing when it comes down to his word. How you going to go contrary to his word when you're on your knees asking him something? You ain't doing nothing that he told Moses and came down and lived in himself. Then Paul had to come right back to the southern kingdom and address them again pertaining to he was raised from the womb in Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16. Read that real quick. Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16. See, Paul was raised in the womb to tell Judah, you got to get back on your job, Judah, the one that's called African-American Negroes. Now, watch what Paul addressed the Galatians pertaining to him in 1, 15 and 16. What did he say?
The book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Galatians, chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased your father who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his mercy. Verse 16, she revealed his son in me, that I may teach him among the heathen. Immediately, I prefer not with flesh and blood.
So Paul said he was raised from the womb to tell you this. Paul was raised from the womb. He had his parents to make a connection to bring him out to tell you was written in Hebrews 10, 22 down to verse 26. Look what he says. So Paul came back to the southern temple where the Israelites, the tribe of Judah, was the lead tribe. And he addressed them by getting the microphone from Peter. And look what he says in 10:22 down to verse 26. What he said, Hebrews 10, 22 down to verse 26. Listen to what he says at the great big temple of the southern kingdom. Come on.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22 to 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 reads, let us draw near with a true mind and full assurance of the covenant, having our minds sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our covenant without wavering, for he is righteous that promised. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. Verse 26, but if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin.
Give me another verse. Then what you look for there? Give me one more verse. What you look for? Next
27. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and a fiery indignation which should devour the adversary.
And that's you. He said, once you receive the knowledge of the truth and you pay the six anointed camps called Voices of a True Israelite, like no, never mind. He said, all you look for is to be burnt in the lake of fire. That's all you got coming. The man tell you about the Sabbath day. Everybody in the Bible kept it up to 96 A.D. before they were scattered everywhere. You keep the first day of the week. And he also tell you that he got a sign on you called a dress code in Numbers chapter 15, 37 through 40. And he tell you why he tell you about his dress code. Let's see what he got written. It's a dress code for the children of Israel, children of the book. Let's see what the dress code is. And you can see it in any of the six anointed camps you come to, the dress code that he got for the children of Israel. 15, 37 to 40 in the book of Numbers, what it say?
The book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 37 to 40. Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the border a red band of blue. Verse 39, this shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the Torah instructions of Yahweh and do them. And that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whore. Verse 40, that you may remember to do all my Torah instructions of the first five books and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. The reason why you wear fringes, because they them fringes are going to talk to you like another person that's righteous. The Sabbath day is coming up. Time to get to the class. Sunset on Friday. Them fringes will talk to you. That's why he said, remember, put your fringes on. It'll talk to you just like, and you don't put them on any way you want to put them on. Let's see, it said in 22:12 of Deuteronomy. The fringes will talk to you. When you get ready to do something contrary, if that thou shalt not do that, then that's against my rules and regulations. See, when you wear fringes, children of Israel, it goes small steel boys tell you when you're out of order to straighten up. And that's the key of wearing fringes. Let's see what he says in 22:12.
The third book of the Torah instruction, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 12. You should make you fringes upon the four corners of your garments wherewith you covers yourself.
He said, "The fringes will cover you. You don't wear no mini skirts. You wear the fringes all the way down to cover yourself. And them fringes remind you to do what he got written in his Bible." Now, let's get one more in there, young line, and we'll close, and we'll come back Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Let's go to Baruch chapter 3, 1 through 13, to close the statement, what you got. And we'll catch you, everybody, again Wednesday night at 6 p.m. But remember, you can go back on the network at 9:15 and put in YHWH Radio Live and hear the broadcast at 9:15. Got it? Good. Baruch 3, 1 through 13, the closing statement, young line. You stood tall. Excellent. Come on.
The book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. Baruch, chapter 3, verse 1. O Yahweh Almighty, Yahweh of Israel, the soul in anguish, the troubled spirit cried unto you. Verse 2. Hear, O Yahweh, and have mercy, for you art merciful, and have pity upon us, because we have sinned before you. Verse 3. For you endure us forever, and we perish utterly. Verse 4, O Yahweh Almighty, you Yahweh of Israel, hear now the prayer of the dead Israelites and of their children, which have sinned before you and have not listened unto the voice of you. Their Yahweh, for which cause these plagues cleave unto us. Verse 5, remember not the sins of our forefathers, but think upon your power and your name now at this time. Verse 6, for you are Yahweh, our Yahweh, and you, O Yahweh, will we pray. Verse 7. And for this cause, you have put your fear in our minds, and the intent that we should call upon your name and praise you in our captivity. For we have called to mind all the sins of our forefathers that stand before you. Verse 8. Behold, we are yet this day in our captivity, where you have scattered us for a reproach and a curse, and to be subject to payment, according to all the sins of our fathers, which departed from Yahweh our Yahweh. Verse 9. Hear, Israel, the Torah instructions of life, give ear to understand wisdom. Verse 10. How happened it, Israel, that art in your enemy's land, that you are waxing old in a strange country, that you are defiled with the dead. Verse 11. That you are counted with them that go down to the grave. Verse 12. You have forsaken the fountain of wisdom. Verse 13. But if you had walked in the way of Yahweh, you should have dwelt in peace forever.
Yeah. Close the statement, young line. You still talk. Catch you Wednesday night. It's all yours. Come on.
All right. I'm going to Wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom of Solomon.